40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
My special guest on The Sunny Side of Sports is Ahmed Ali, a sprinter for the University of Alabama who, at the international level, will represent Sudan at the Rio Olympics in August. Ahmed has been earning headlines recently for his fast times on the track, and he joins us now by telephone from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Ahmed, welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Can you reflect a little bit on your recent performance at the Florida Relays? A great time, world-leading time in the 200 meters, 20.16. What were your feelings after that race, Ahmed?
I was extremely happy and surprised when I saw the clock. I honestly didn't believe it for a second till that time actually stood for a second, and I looked at it again, then I really believed it, and I just ran back and really hugged my coach and let the moment sink in for a moment, and it was surprising.
At the international level, you compete for Sudan, is that correct?
Yes, that's my native country, yes.
Did you get any response from any of your fans in Sudan after that race?
Yes, a lot of love and calls, actually, regarding that, and them actually telling me that that was the national record for Sudan and stuff like that. And it was a pleasing moment to hear all them fans calling me.
Did that surprise you, Ahmed, that it was a new Sudanese national record?
In some way, yes. In some way, not. Just me running that fast, it was surprisingly, but getting the national record, not really. But I was really just pleased with it.
Can you talk a little bit about your youth? Did you grow up in Sudan?
No. I grew up in Egypt, Cairo. I spent most of my life there, and then we moved to Houston, Texas, and that's where I grew up and went to middle school and high school down there in Elif Hastings High School. Pretty much from there on, I attended South Plains College, and I spent 2 years there before attending the University of Alabama.
You were born in Sudan, though, is that correct?
Yes.
What area of Sudan?
Khartoum.
Talk about your experience, Ahmed, at the University of Alabama. Not necessarily on the track. What are you studying at Alabama?
I'm a public health major, and I'm graduating next fall of 2016 with a Bachelor of Science. Of course, I got my dream actually to be a professional runner, but I have actually more goals beyond that. And with my degree, I'm more interested in working with the CDC down in Atlanta or in Houston, Texas. And I want to have the ability to impact the communities around me and have an impact on the youth around me as well. And I want to see if I can be a coach in the future as well.
Would you maybe one day like to be a coach in athletics?
Yes.
What have your grades been like at Alabama? Do you have to keep a certain grade to remain on the track team?
Yes, you do. With the NCAA rules, you have to be above a 2.5 GPA in order to stay eligible. Well, my grades, I'm eligible. I believe I have a 2.9, I believe.
That's a good GPA.
Yeah, overall, but last semester I finished with a 3.0, so my GPA should get pushed up. And hopefully I graduate with 3.0, and that's the goal.
You say you maybe want to become a professional runner. That time at the Florida Relays, I mean, that's a great time, Ahmed. Does that kind of inspire you to maybe make it to Rio for Sudan?
Yes. With that time, it gave me a lot of confidence in myself and knowing where I stand and actually knowing that I can run that fast now and, I guess, able to maintain the level of ability to run that fast week in and week out is what's really going to get me going. And with that time, like I said, I have a lot of confidence in myself now, and I'm hoping to actually do my best at the NCAA championship, which is coming up during June. And we're going to start off with the SEC championship here at home and have the ability to win that. And, of course, with that time, if I have the ability to run that time again over and over, and I will have a nice chance of actually turning professional.
In terms of the Rio Olympics, Ahmed, I know in the United States they have Olympic trials for athletes hoping to make it to Brazil. What about Sudan? What is the qualifying process like there?
Due to Sudan being a small country, not as big as USA, of course, we don't have a trial. We just take the best athlete they have, but we are still required to get the A standard in order to go to get to the Olympics. Just like USA are required to get the A standard, we still have the same standard in order to get there. But the only difference is USA has a trial and we don't. So that's a little different, but we still have the same standard.
Did you meet that A standard in the 200 meters with your 20.16?
Yes, the A standard is a 20.50. Yes, I met that, and I met it also last year with a 20.46.
What about the 100 meters, Ahmed? Would you consider doing that at the Rio Games?
Of course. Actually, I will have a chance actually to run 100 meters this weekend at the LSU Invitation in Louisiana and pretty much have the ability to run 10:16 or faster in order to get me qualified, and I'll have many chances to get that.
That's great. I know there's some concern among athletes, Ahmed, about the situation in Brazil, pollution of the water. There's that Zika virus, other issues. Are you concerned at all about what's going on in Brazil?
Yes. Being a public health major is really, that's what I study. And knowing what's going down there in Brazil is the Zika virus doesn't really infect male as much. It's more of a female disease that females get. I'm not really worrying about it so much. I'm just trying to focus on my training and better myself. And, of course, I just have my mama's mosquito spray and do what I need to do.
In terms of your training, Ahmed, being an Olympic year, does that maybe add a little extra motivation when you're on the track?
Oh, yes. For every athlete, it does. Knowing that this year doesn't come every year, every 4 years, and not everybody have that chance, and it goes by so fast. It gives you that mentality. This is the year I have to have it all together, put all my mind and everything in one place and just run hard. It definitely does.
And would this be your first Olympics, Ahmed?
Yeah, this will be my first Olympics ever, and I'm really excited for it. I mean, last year was my first world championship, and I was excited for that, and I'm way excited for the Olympics, of course.
What about the other members of Alabama's track team? Are any others going to Brazil for the Olympics?
Yes, there's a lot, many of us. Kenesha Burke actually have one of the best jumps in the world, and she's doing perfect, great. She's having an outstanding season. She just got done winning the NCAA championship down here in Birmingham a couple of weeks ago. And she also won it last year in outdoor season, and she will have a chance to win it again outdoor season. And there's a lot of other members who are actually on a great path and being successful in the future and have the ability to get to Rio as well.
Does that make it a little easier for you? I mean, would you socialize with them down in Rio?
Yes, actually, just knowing them from back home and going to a different country and knowing somebody is always a great feeling, even if they have a different country outfit on, just knowing them. And it makes it even better at practice here, be able to compete with those guys and get better.
What does your schedule look like just before the Olympics? What are some of your big competitions?
It's going to start off with the SEC Championship here down here in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And I'm hoping everybody to come out and support the Tide. After that, it will be the NCAA Regional Championship in North Florida. And it will be followed by the NCAA Championship in Eugene, Oregon. And that would be my last NCAA track meet. And after that, I would be flying off to South Africa to represent my native country, actually, and at the Senior Championship, and get to compete my first time in Africa, actually. And from there, train and just get ready for Rio. It would be about a month away from it.
You said you're excited about Rio. What about Africa? Are you excited about competing in Africa?
Oh, yeah. Super excited. Get to see a different side of the world and get to see how it is. Never been there before. That's what I'm excited about. See different places and see new competition every time. That's what I'm really excited about and get to see how it is. How it go.
What about your parents, Ahmed? Have they been proud of your success so far at Alabama?
Oh, yes. My mom has supported me in every step of my dream and everything. She has always been there, and all my family members, my little brother sisters, they all support me, call me every couple of days and talk about stuff. And my grandma, she has been calling me here and there when she can, and I've always been telling me to keep my mind right. I love them to death.
At the international level, when you line up, say, next to somebody like Usain Bolt, what's the feeling like to go up against somebody like that?
It's a nerve-wracking feeling. I feel that way, actually, every time, actually, I get on the track, regardless of who's there or not. It's just a feeling I've been having since I started running track. But once that gun goes off, it goes away. It don't matter who's on the track. I'm racing next to whoever, because everybody has their own lane. But I believe, actually, it's going to be an honor, actually, be racing against the ball. If I have that honor to be next to him, and not everybody gets to race him.
That's for sure. All right, you're at 20.16 now, Ahmed. Can you dip below 20 seconds?
Yes, I believe I can. With the way I train and trusting myself and trusting my coach and guidance and how everything is going, I believe I can run faster. I want to surprise myself and see how fast my body can run.
Finally, Ahmed, what's been the best part of your experience at the University of Alabama?
I would say football games. being here at the University of Alabama, actually, being a Texas native and everything, never actually been down here in Alabama, and coming down here is like a totally different place.
So it's football, Alabama football. I'm surprised they haven't tried to get you out there as a wide receiver or something like that.
Nah, it happened in middle school and it happened in high school. After that, I don't think I would be a football player. I would stick to track and take that run with it.
Well, Ahmed, thank you very much for talking with us on the Sunny Side of Sports, and I wish you the best of luck ahead of the Rio Olympics and at Alabama.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me.
Ahmed Ali speaking with us by telephone from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Ahmed mentioned Alabama football, the Crimson Tide of Alabama, as a very proud tradition in American-style collegiate football. Last year, Alabama was crowned national champion after defeating Clemson 45-40 in the College Football Playoff National Championship game.
You asked for it and we answered. The Sunny Side of Sports is expanding our showtime on VOA Africa.
Voice of America. Yeah.
I am Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Joining us now with a package of African football news is Mark Ouma.
Guinea-Bissau is the world's most improved national team, while Cape Verde Islands has slipped by the widest margin among African teams, according to the FIFA rankings released in Zurich, Switzerland on Thursday. Algeria regained the top spot as Africa's highest-ranked nation. They are at 33rd. African champions Ivory Coast are 34th and Ghana 38th. Senegal is 43rd and Egypt 44th. Cape Verde Islands and Tunisia share 47th spot. The Democratic Republic of Congo is 51st, Guinea 58th, and the Republic of Congo 59th. The federal government of Nigeria will not foot the salary for a foreign coach for the Nigeria Super Eagles, Sports Minister Solomon Dalungwe clarified in Abuja. The Nigeria Football Federation head, Amaju Pinnick, is on record as saying they will seek a foreign coach for the Super Eagles after they failed to qualify for the 2017 Orange Africa Cup of Nations. The NFF received more than 95% of its funding from the federal government of Nigeria. They will have to find a private sponsor if they want a foreign coach as they prepare to resume their 2018 FIFA World Cup qualifiers. Elsewhere, Frenchman Claude Leroy takes charge as coach of Togo. He replaces Belgium's Tom Saint-Fiat. Leroy's main task is to put to good use his 30-year experience in African football to revive Togo's dream of playing in the 2017 Orange Africa Cup of Nations. Togo is third in their Group A Nations Cup qualifiers behind Liberia and Tunisia. A mere 2 points separate three teams with two matches left to conclude their qualifiers.
In National Basketball Association news, the reigning champion Golden State Warriors have become just the second team in league history to win 70 games in the regular season. The Warriors beat the visiting San Antonio Spurs Thursday night, 112-101, a victory that also gives them the number one overall seed in the upcoming NBA playoffs. The Warriors were once again led by superstar guard Stephen Curry, who fired in 27 points against the Spurs. Golden State has three games left in the regular season and must win them all to beat the record of 72 wins set by Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls in the 1995-96 NBA season. Ironically, Golden State's head coach, Steve Kerr, played on that Bulls team 20 years ago. Coach Kerr says he'll meet with his players to decide whether to rest some of them ahead of the playoffs or go after the record. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty Friday greetings, Andrew.
Sporty Friday greetings, Sunny. Happy Friday to you and all our listeners out there.
Happy Friday, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world?
Well, Golden State is a big trend, chasing that 73-win record, hoping to have that record and beat those Chicago Bulls, who had 72 wins. Standing in their way, as a lot of people are noting on social media, is the San Antonio Spurs, the second team in the West, their big rival. They actually just beat San Antonio last night in what many are saying is going to be the matchup for the Western Conference Final between these top two teams. So they have to beat them again and in San Antonio. That's the thing.
To win, to get the record.
Sunday, they play them in San Antonio, and they have two more games against the Memphis Grizzlies, and those are the last three they have to win them all. So they said San Antonio could exact their revenge at home against the Golden State Warriors.
Now, what's your sense, Andrew? Coach Kerr has said that he might lean toward resting star players like Stephen Curry and not go after the record. Do you think it's worth going after at this point?
You know, this is the hot topic of conversation on social media, and I think by and large people want to see them get that record. So they're pushing, hoping that he has the players go out there and doesn't rest them, or maybe they work up a lead and then he can rest them, or rest them one of the games against the Memphis Grizzlies, which is not as strong a team. But generally, people want to see them go and make history. Any chance that we have to make history in sports, people always want to see that. They want people to strive for it. But Coach Kerr, I think he's got a lot of thinking to do. He's got to look at the bigger picture and say, all right, do we want to repeat as champions, or do we want to try to chase this record, or can we do both?
And I know on the social media front, Andrew, during the recent NCAA men's final, Michael Jordan was at the game, and we saw those crying Jordan memes. Maybe if the Warriors win and get this record, maybe that crying Jordan meme will come out again. I don't know.
You might have crying Jordan meme. You have some crying LeBron, or, you know, there might be other memes that come out of players that were unable to meet this goal. But probably what you'll see actually is something, you know, a Steph Curry meme, Steph Curry Superman or something like that, because he really has been a Superman this season and for a number of seasons in the NBA.
Andrew, on the social media front, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, I said, you know, as Golden State's chasing this record, a lot of people on social media always are very excited to see history being made and kind of momentous occasions in sports. Unfortunately for golfer Ernie Els, he made, kind of this momentous mark on the Masters for all the wrong reasons. First hole of the Masters, first round of the Masters, and he gets a quintuple bogey. That means he was five shots over par. It was a par four. He had nine shots. He had to take six putts at the hole, all of them within 2 feet, and he missed them all. Just kept rimming it out of the hole or just missing the hole.
Excruciating.
I mean, all of those words that you could possibly think of, you know, a horror show, excruciating. Just people saying these things on social media, and I think really feeling bad for him that he did, you know, clearly he's a great golfer, great champion, but for whatever reason, just did not have a good day on that hole one. And then, of course, this morning, round two, he gets a double bogey on that hole. So the hole one has not been good for Ernie Els, South African golfer, at this Masters tournament.
Andrew, our producer this evening, Bill Werkinger, is a big golf fan, and he alerted me to that Ernie Els video. And just to watch it, I felt so bad for Ernie.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of golf fans did.
Oh, golf fans and just sports fans generally. I mean, it was a top story here in the U.S. on the, you know, in ESPN, the sports network here, getting covered alongside them, you know, NBA, Major League Baseball. It was a big moment, and certainly a big moment for social media, because that video did get shared all over the place. That was actually the first place that I saw it, was on Twitter. Someone had posted the video, kind of the mashup of, you know, these six shots clipped together. So that's, you know, it's playing out on social media, unfortunately, for Ernie Els.
And he was putting when he made all those missed shots. And I understand, Andrew, that golf has changed its rules regarding the type of putter you're allowed to use. When Ernie won his last major title, he had kind of this upright putter that he kept close to his chest. And now that's been outlawed. And apparently Ernie's having some problems with his putting game.
You know, it's sometimes that's the issue, is the equipment. Or certainly that's what, the golfers sometimes say, or even other professional athletes say, well, it was the equipment. I know in tennis that happens a lot. You see a lot of smashed rackets from the different players and saying, well, the racket wasn't strung right, or the racket wasn't, you know, doing me right that day. But unfortunate is, you know, I think the bottom line for him, and a lot of sympathy on social media. And to social media's credit, you know, I think there were some jokes made at his expense, but a lot of people saying, oh, feel really bad for him. He's a good golfer, just had a bad day.
Defending champion Jordan Spieth was the leader after the first round. Andrew, is Spieth still trending in social media?
Yeah, he's a huge star here in the U.S., so you're seeing a lot of those names, Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler, Bubba Watson, those U.S. players, this kind of young group of golfers that are coming up. And certainly in other, you know, different countries, you're seeing other people, you know, certainly from the U.K., from Ireland, you have Rory McIlroy who's trending. So that's, you know, also names that are being spoken of on social media.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you very much.
And that wraps up the April 8th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer Peter Hundley, and thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. Nigeria is a diverse country with a large and assertive civil society, a rich culture, and huge potential. It is a country with an almost boundless capacity for economic growth. And the United States wants Nigeria to succeed. That is why the United States and Nigeria just relaunched the U.S.-Nigeria Binational Commission with a high-level strategic dialogue in Washington designed to expand mutual cooperation across a broad range of shared interests. The United States, said Secretary of State John Kerry at the Commission's most recent meeting in late March, is encouraged that under new President Muhammadu Buhari, Nigeria has made a commitment to diversify its economy. Secretary Kerry then announced that this year, U.S. aid to Nigeria will top $600 million. A significant portion of this money will go toward halting the misery that is spread by HIV/AIDS, by malaria, and by TB. More funding will go towards strengthening Nigeria's energy sector through President Obama's Power Africa initiative, and the Feed the Future program will help improve agricultural efficiency and raise rural incomes. Together, said Secretary of State Kerry, we will work to address humanitarian and development needs, especially in the country's north, where the lack of opportunity has been holding people back, and where the terrorist organization Boko Haram has murdered thousands and disrupted the lives of millions. Thus, the United States will support Nigeria's efforts to once and for all defeat Boko Haram and to eliminate the conditions that have seen the genesis of this terrorist group and that aid its recruitment and operations. These include effective governance, the creation of good jobs, and the elimination of corruption. Our purpose, said Secretary of State Kerry, is to map out the next steps for cooperation in all of those areas where we need it. This doesn't transform things overnight. But, he said, it moves us steadily forward. It creates momentum in the right direction, and that is good for Nigeria. It's good for the United States, and frankly, if we can get this right, that will really make a difference to the world.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
With your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best. Right here on VOA Africa.
Next time on Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss the International Criminal Court and African leaders, as well as ICC's ruling on Kenya's Deputy President William Ruto. Tune in to Straight Talk Africa next Wednesday at 18:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.